As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal, but the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. I'm Andy. He's Ari. We're idiots. We told you that Georgia was going to win big, and boy, were we wrong. We really could not have been any more wrong here. This is It's truly astounding how wrong we were, Ari. And I feel like we should do something. We should make a pledge. Would you like to make a pledge with me, Ari?
I already know what the pledge is, and yes, I would love to.
All right, let's hold up our right hands. Repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Ari Wasserman,
will never, ever, ever bet against Nick Saban in a football game again for as long as I live.
Will never, ever, ever bet against Nick Saban in a football game as long as I live ever again.
If I choose to bet against Nick Saban, may I be banned from eating barbecue and or McDonald's Filet-O-Fish for the remainder of my days on this earth.
If I do, may I be banned from eating barbecue or McDonald's Filet-O-Fish for the remainder of my days on this earth.
Amen.
Amen.
We're never going to do it again. Never again. That's it. Last time I bet against Nick Saban, last time I say the opponent will cover the spread, never, ever, ever again.
Well, here's the good news, Andy. Alabama's never going to be a 6.5 point underdog ever again, so we're never going to have to worry about it.
Holy cow.
We were so pot committed. Because we went coast to coast, but before the year started, I think you and I in the Athletic preseason polls said that we believed that Georgia will win a national championship. So we couldn't go all the way from coast to coast with Georgia just sucking the life out of every opponent they faced all year and then all of a sudden pick Nick Saban, which I know now sounds moronic, but like, what are we going to do? It's like calling all the way down to the river and then folding when you have pocket kings. It's like, what are you going to do if somebody has aces? Then Nick Saban is aces.
So I actually did pick, as dumb as this sounds, I picked Georgia to go into the SEC. I think this is at the beginning of the year. Georgia to go in the SEC championship game 12-0 and lose to Alabama and then beat Alabama in a rematch in the title game. So my pick is still on the board, but after today, not going to pick against Nick Saban again. Well, never.
I didn't get as detailed as you did, but Georgia still absolutely could win the national championship. And I think this is a nice segue into the idea of who's going to make it. And I think we know the four teams that are going to make it when they announce it on Sunday afternoon. Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, and Cincinnati. I don't know what the seeding is going to be, Andy, but I think I would be very confident in saying that the semifinal wherever that is not going to be Alabama against Georgia, which means that Alabama and Georgia will be facing Michigan and Cincinnati. Alabama will probably be facing Cincinnati. Michigan will be facing Georgia. I believe Georgia and Alabama will both be double-digit favorites in both of those semifinals and will likely meet again. So, like, I guess...
Okay, I got you, Mr. Stars Matter. Should Georgia be a huge favorite against Michigan? I mean, I feel like that looks like a really fun game.
It might be. I know, but like if Michigan is getting less than a touchdown, which way are you betting that game?
Probably Georgia.
And they're going to keep playing that game until people go Michigan, which would probably be around the 10 or 11 point mark. I could see 10 or 10 and a half points, you know, and Michigan's playing very good football. They beat Ohio State, beat the crap out of Ohio State. They beat the crap out of Iowa. You know, their offense looks great. Their lines are insane. They might have the best player or second best player in college football on the defensive line. Like, you know, the biggest loser, I think the two biggest losers from the Georgia Alabama game was Georgia. One, because they didn't win the SEC and they now have the idea or the potential of facing Alabama again. And Michigan also lost that because now their semifinal game is much harder than it would have been otherwise. Because Michigan would have much rather played Cincinnati or Oklahoma State rather than Georgia in the first round. A mad Georgia, an embarrassed Georgia, a talented Georgia. You know, I think that Michigan's path to the national championship game now just got infinitely harder as a result of what happened in the SEC championship game. So, like, to me, it is a little bit of good news that Alabama won, because then I can continue to cling to the Stars Matter mantra, which is probably going to be a 1-2 matchup between Georgia and Alabama in the national championship, which uncoincidentally are the two most talented teams in college football this year. So that could happen. But, you know, I wonder if the year was as weird as it was and I've underestimated teams all year, if true to the form of the actual season, the national championship game is weird, or a weird result happens in the playoff, or a team that we don't think can win it all does. It's like if Michigan won the national championship this year, I guess based on what I've seen from Michigan the last 2 weeks, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the entire world. It'd be the most shocking thing in retrospect. If you would have told me Michigan's winning the national championship, like me and I were going over over-under wins before the season, and like you and I struggled to get to 9 with Michigan, and now what, they're going to win the national title? But I do think that the easy way out here is just to pick Alabama or Georgia to win it all, and that's probably what's going to happen. And if they simulated it on the Madden simulator 100 times, I bet you the national champion would be one of those two teams 95 times.
So we are sure that Georgia's 3. That they won't put Georgia.
Well, how much does the committee care about rematches?
I don't think they're supposed to care at all. That's why I'm saying this.
Yeah, I guess if they don't care at all and they do it right, Georgia should be 4.
Right.
But here's the impossible situation, Andy. If you asked Georgia who they would most like to play in the playoff, that Alabama would be their last answer.
This is my kidnap truth serum.
Yes.
Method. Yes.
And Alabama's answer would be Georgia. So on one hand, if you match these two teams up again, you're punishing the number one seed that is supposed to have earned the easier path based on the seeding. And two, you'd be rewarding Georgia, who should not be their reward is even getting in at all with a questionable schedule and no conference championship and a blowout loss to the team that everybody expected to win before the year. Why do they get a reward? They should have to play Bama first. So it's like, who do you pick? Do you reward Georgia or do you penalize Alabama or do you avoid it altogether and separate them and give America 2 fresh matchups in the semifinals and then let the chips fall where they may after that?
I think they'll say, well, we did, you know, we looked at it and, you know, we thought Georgia was a stronger team than Cincinnati. I imagine that's what Gary Barta will say, or some version of that.
That's all I have to say now is what we like. If there's no there's no controversy at all about who the 4 will be, right?
I don't think so at all.
So if there's no controversy with that, then they can say whatever they want about what the seeding is.
Yeah. If Michigan had lost, I think maybe there would have been controversy, probably between, because it would have been come down to what, Baylor and Notre Dame at that point?
Yeah.
That would have been pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
the only thing that would have made this podcast, I think, a little bit more interesting would be if Oklahoma State would have won. And then we'd be having a discussion. I mean, I was watching the end of the Cincinnati game tonight, and the bottom ticker of this podcast right now, if they're watching it on YouTube, is Cincinnati made history. The ticker would not say that if Oklahoma State would have won.
We would be trying to figure out which one they're going to pick.
And I think it would be a really tough decision.
Yeah, I agree. So when we come back, let's talk about that Big 12 title game, because it was fantastic. It was not a shocking result, but the last play, holy cow. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We are we're talking Big 12 title game because it was the earliest game on Saturday, but it was a knockout game. It's one of those that the way it ended, you almost wish they had a 12-team playoff this year so that Baylor could have made the playoff by winning that way. Like, Desmond Jackson bounces outside. It looks like it's fourth down. The game will be decided on this play. It looks like he's in the clear, that he's going to make it. And Jerron McVay knocks him out inches short of the pylon. It was an unbelievable finish after what was a really fun game.
I have a really strong opinion about something, and it really, really drove home to me today.
Okay.
My opinion, and I've shared this with you in the podcast before, is that if a team loses a regular season game to a team, and then they replay them again in the conference championship game and beat them, I can forgive them for losing. Like, I could take away their loss. And Baylor is a two-loss team who is not even in the discussion right now because of, you know, those two losses. But if they're a one loss, I view them the same way I would view Oklahoma State if they won.
Interesting that you say that. So, okay, we're playing hypotheticals here, but we kind of need to because we think we know what the four are. But I'm curious because we are moving toward an expanded playoff. There will be these decisions that get made down the road. Let's say Michigan had lost to Iowa, which obviously did not happen. But let's say it had. Would you have taken Baylor in that situation or Notre Dame at number four?
Baylor.
You would have taken Baylor. Okay.
I would have taken Baylor as a conference champion who avenged one of their losses in the championship game and is playing great football right now.
And has wins against them. The two Oklahoma teams, which would be better than any of Notre Dame's wins.
Notre Dame's wins combined. Yeah. So this year, I think I told you this on the podcast, but I've been dying to do the Grapevine mock committee that they do with media members where they get some of us in there into a room. Yeah. And they invited me to do it this year. And the day that they did it was my baby's due date. So I had to decline.
No.
But like, I really want to do that because I feel like, and I don't know what it's like in that room. Have you done it before?
Yeah, I did the very first one. The actual committee had never met when we did it. Jeff Long, who was the first chair of the committee, was sitting next to me taking notes about what not to do because I was the chair.
So, you were? Did people get angry?
I don't know that angry was the right word, but people got, you know, pretty spicy. People were very strong in their opinions. They would give their opinions forcefully. I don't think anybody was mad at anybody else, but yeah.
I just feel like I would be so passionate about certain things.
And I don't think I would get in a fight.
I don't think I would win the argument, but I don't think that we always view things clearly. We just eliminate teams based on things that are just written in stone for whatever reason. It's just like the reason why Baylor is not going to the playoff, or the main reason why they're not in a discussion to make the playoff, is because they lost on the road to Oklahoma State back in, when was it? At the October at some point? And it's like, yes, is that really the game after what we saw today that's going to keep them out of the playoff? That's stupid.
Well, but that's the 4-team playoff. And that's what I've been yelling about all season. And I wrote a column about this that probably will be up by the time you listen to this podcast. All of those commissioners who thought they were getting over on Greg Sankey because they got mad at him. Because remember, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, was part of that group that came up with the 12-team proposal that was unveiled in June. And then it leaked that Oklahoma and Texas were going to the SEC. And all of a sudden, the other commissioners were like, wait a second. Did Greg Sankey have an ulterior motive when he was coming up with this 12-team plan? We can't go ahead and pass this. Well, remember, again, they had a meeting this week. They still have not passed a 12-team plan. They have cost themselves 2 years of 12-team plan, and all they've done is made Greg Sankey make them look even stupider. Greg Sankey has half the field for the second time in 5 seasons. There's a really good chance they could have an all-SEC national title game for the second time in 5 seasons. Who got played here, really? Who won what?
It's like trying to play games with the conference that undeniably has the most great teams in it is just kind of dumb.
It's just so stupid. Like, they have made themselves look like idiots. And they still won't stop. Like, just pass it already. Like, the Big 12, you need it. The Pac-12, you haven't gotten a team in since 2016. Imagine how much more fun. And look, those Utah fans looked like they were having a blast on Friday night. But imagine how much more fun it would have been if they'd have known they were getting in the playoff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's no point in trying to limit or putting provisions in that would limit the team, the conference with the most deserving teams anyway.
Right.
Until that changes, what are we trying to stop here?
The SEC would have gotten 3 in this year. They would have gotten Georgia, Alabama, and Ole Miss. But the Big Ten also would have gotten 3 in. And the ACC would have gotten to participate. And the Big 12 would have gotten to participate. And the Pac-12 would have gotten to participate. I mean, that's the thing. They just played themselves over and over again. And so now they may not be able to do it by 2024. If they just passed it when they were supposed to, they would have had to set up for 2023. There would have only been one more year of this after this one.
Well, let me put you on the spot. You're on the committee and it's a 5-5 tie about, okay, in a hypothetical world, Oklahoma State won today.
Yes.
And it's a 5-5 tie. Your vote changes who goes to the playoff. Are you taking Oklahoma State if they won today or Cincinnati?
Oh, gosh.
You're the tiebreaker.
See, that's the hardest one because Cincinnati has that Notre Dame win. But Oklahoma State would have had 2 wins against Baylor and a win against Oklahoma. So which do you favor?
I think that the Oklahoma State resume is better.
I think given the way the committee has acted through the years, they would have picked Oklahoma State.
Who would you pick if you were the tiebreaker?
Oh God. That would have been, it would be hard. I guess I'd pick Oklahoma State because I'd feel like the resume was better because their strength of schedule would have been stronger in general and they would have 3 really great wins instead of just 1.
So do you agree with me that it's dumb that Baylor is no longer in the discussion?
Yeah.
It's really, really dumb.
Well, but because I think a lot of people would take Baylor was in the discussion if Michigan had lost.
No, I know, but if you would take Oklahoma State over Cincinnati and take that team with a straight face.
Oh, why is Baylor getting in over Cincinnati?
Yes. Like, why is Baylor just completely dismissed from the discussion?
But see, this is the thing. This is why they need to move to the expanded playoff. They both need to get in and then we'll figure it out when they play some people.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I mean, you get to the point where you don't have to make these dumb calls, and then you can settle it on the field. I think that's what everybody likes, you know. But I just think that in the meantime, look, Cincinnati's a feel-good story. It's about time a group of five team got in. I'm not trying to steal their shine. I can't wait to watch them, and hopefully they'll be good representatives of the group of five and play whoever they end up playing tough. I don't know that if I were on the committee that I would think that it's not a discussion, and I don't know that I would be 100% certain that Baylor wouldn't be in my top four.
We're going to come right back. When we come back, I'm going to give you a chance, Ari, to worm your way into the hearts of all the Michigan fans that you've turned off over the years, because it's going to be time to say nice things about Michigan. We'll be right back.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Michigan beat Iowa 42-3, Ari. Michigan's going to be the number two seed. Is there a case to be made for Michigan as the number one seed? Michigan and Alabama both lost games. Michigan lost to a two-loss team. Alabama lost to a four-loss team. Alabama beat the team that we all consider to be the number one team. Michigan beat the team that will be one of the higher-ranked non-playoff teams in Ohio State. Where do you think the Wolverines deserve to be? Do they deserve to be at two? Should they get consideration for one?
I think two is probably right. And Michigan beat Ohio State, and that's their best win. And, you know, they beat the crap out of Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. But the most impressive win of the year is what Alabama did to Georgia, right? So if that team has the most impressive win, I guess the amount of losses the team that they lost to isn't necessarily going to tip the scale for me. Now, here's the thing I'll say. It doesn't really matter. You know, they're right. Both going to be playing really, really favorable matchups in the first round. And, you know, that
if Michigan plays Georgia and plays defense the way they've been playing defense, Georgia's going to struggle to score. Yeah. It's not going to be, they're going to hold them to three or even 13, but it is going to be a manageable game, I think, for both teams and if they wind up playing each other.
It's so funny. Before the break, you said, I'm going to be able to work my way back into the Michigan fan heart by saying nice things about them.
Are you going to stars matter this one too? I think Michigan-Georgia would be a great game. I think
that's not what I'm getting at all.
Oh, okay.
What I was going to say is that it's crazy when there's something positive to say, how easy it is to say something positive.
Yes, you're exactly right.
They're awesome this year. They're an awesome football team. And I think if they play Georgia in the first round, which is what I would bet right now, as we record this on Saturday night at almost midnight or past midnight your time, that Michigan would play a good game against Georgia. I don't think Georgia's offense is very good. I think Georgia's strength is obviously running the football, and Michigan's defensive line is awesome. I don't think that is 100% going to be a blowout if it happens. Absolutely not. Michigan earned every single thing that they have coming to them. And you know what? It sucks that the SEC game went the way that it did, because Michigan got kind of screwed with who they have to play in the first round now, most likely.
Right.
But
right. It would have been
do I think that they're absolutely going to lose the first semifinal? I don't think that Michigan can beat Georgia and Alabama in back-to-back games, but I don't think that it's necessarily something that's just going to be a blowout. If they play Georgia in the first round, especially considering the fact that Georgia's offense looked inept for much of the second half of that game.
And Michigan hitting a couple of big plays on Iowa suggests to me that they could do the same to Georgia. You know, it's hard to make big plays against both those defenses.
Did you love how Harbaugh was like running it up at the end there and feeling good in his moment?
Oh, yeah. A lot of,
he deserved that. Yeah. Yeah. No,
worked
I know.
A long
I think it's
time
great
for that one.
I know.
But the Corum run and the Wilson catch that kicked things off, that made it 14-3 in the first quarter, that told you all you needed. Once they did that, the game was over. Now, if you do that to Georgia, the game's not over, but you're very much in control at that point.
Before the game, the Georgia-Alabama game started, you said that you weren't certain, or you know, you weren't necessarily confident that Georgia would be able to win in a shootout game. And I laughed at the idea that Georgia would ever be in a shootout. Like what Alabama's offense did, the Alabama offense, by the way, that got shut out three quarters against Auburn and couldn't get a first down for the majority of that game, probably should have lost multiple times. Literally was a yard from losing three or four times in the Auburn game. Then puts up 500 yards of offense against Georgia and is putting up 41 points. It's just like, I don't know. I mean, can Michigan score on that defense? Absolutely. Michigan has awesome tight ends. Hassan Haskins is playing out of his mind. Cade McNamara is playing much better than I ever thought he'd be capable of playing. J.J. McCarthy is an awesome freshman.
J.J. McCarthy will throw a hell of a lead block 50 yards like down the field.
Plus, they feel good about themselves. They got the albatross off their back. You know, confidence is a great thing to have in football. I think Michigan's a great team to watch this year. And if they win the national championship game, I will be a little bit surprised, but not falling out of my chair, shock and awe. They're playing great, and they deserve everything positive that anybody has to say about them. They're an awesome football team this year and earned all of this.
So, Ari, we're going to wrap pretty soon because we're going real short tonight because we're coming right back after the field gets announced, and we're going to break down the whole field and what this does look like, could look like, everything else. But I want to ask you one question before we leave. Does Kirby Smart need to consider a quarterback change?
I was going to ask you that. I don't know. Well, I don't understand, like, what happened to JT to begin with? Like, did he get injured and then never earn his job back?
He got hurt, and then everything was going so well with Stetson Bennett. And look, we were saying it because we were watching them play with Stetson Bennett, and they looked very comfortable in that offense. He was mobile, which was an element that JT Daniels didn't have. JT Daniels always had the better arm, but Stetson's arm was good enough, and given the weapons they had, it was going fine. Now you know what you were up against, and that Michigan defense, if that's who you have to play, probably just as good as that Alabama defense.
My fantasy is that Georgia will be losing by 14 to Alabama at halftime of the national championship game, and then Kirby Smart will make a quarterback change, and then JT will come into the game and make it all
full circle.
So, hey, before we end the podcast, will you do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Will you put your right hand up?
Yes. I, Andy Staples,
will never, ever, ever, ever,
will never, ever, ever, ever
place my confidence in anything happening the way that I think it will in a game that involves the Pittsburgh Panthers.
Place my confidence in anything happening the way I think it will in a game that involves the Pittsburgh Panthers. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about the ACC title game. Yeah, congratulations to Pitt, ACC champs. You couldn't score one more freaking touchdown and hit the over.
Plus 6,000 to win the ACC before the year.
Wow. What a season.
That is the epitome of pitting.
The epitome of pitting?
Epitome of pitting.
Yeah, I would be playing too legit to pit here, but they didn't do what I needed them to do. Now, Wake Forest is at fault too here. Wake Forest could have scored one more touchdown. 45-21
was
the final.
It has nothing to do with Wake Forest. It was 45-21
was the final. What? The number that we agreed upon on Thursday, because this is where it was on Thursday when we recorded the podcast, was 71. I needed one more touchdown from either team, and suddenly it turns into a defensive struggle in the fourth quarter. I hate it so much.
You'll never learn, but you know, hopefully the hand of the sky will mean something, and you can bet that I'm going to antagonize you a little bit about it after we record our next show on Sunday once the playoff field is revealed.
Well, we have to come up with a punishment now. We've suggested a few, but we'll figure it out. I was throwing lots of punishment suggestions out in the first quarter when it looked like they'd hit the over in the first half.
There was one punishment that I thought was good. And I don't know if you're up for this, Mr. Counting Calories right now. But somebody said that if the under hits, that Andy should have to eat a steak that has as many ounces as total points scored.
Oh, I would happily do that. That would
I don't know if that's a punishment, though.
That's not a punishment. Now, if you make me cook it well done and cover it in ketchup, then that would be a horrific punishment. One I thought was particularly sadistic was cold McNuggets dipped in wasabi for every point under the every point under or every point over. So it would be five McNuggets dipped in wasabi would be the punishment.
You know, I got to be honest with you. Dipped in wasabi. Cold McNuggets don't gross me out at all. Yeah.
Cold McNuggets don't gross me out either, but the wasabi part is a little iffy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll keep brainstorming, but you can bet that I'm not going to forget about it. You closing out the season on championship weekend, losing on a pit bet is the chef's kiss on a truly off year. Just an off year.
Congratulations on your freaking ACC title, Pitt. We'll talk to you tomorrow.